Sunday in Advent. Today we light three candles. The first Sunday, we lit the candle of hope. On the second Sunday, we lit the candle of love. Today, we light the candle of joy. One thing that sometimes happens as we get ready to celebrate Jesus' birth is we expect to be happy all the time. Joy is not the same as happy. Joy is a deeper feeling created by knowing that God cares for us. Joy is remembering that God sent Jesus, so we would always know God's care. During Advent, we pray that we may remember God's gift of Jesus to the world and know the joy that gift brings to all people, like the three purples. When we look at the third candle, we remember God's promise of joy. God promised to send a Savior to the people. Today, we read from the Gospel of John the Scripture. We read that John was sent by God not to be the light, but to testify to the light. This reminds us that Jesus brings light into the world, and where there is light, there is joy and peace and assurance. When the world seems dark, scary, and frightening, we are reminded that Jesus brings life, and life brings joy. Hear this from John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Let us pray together. Dear God,
thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the joy remembering Jesus' birth brings to us today. Help us live in such a way that our words and our actions help others know of the joy we give. Amen.
Today I'm going to read from John 1, verses 1 through 28. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father. John bore witness to him and cried, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, for he was before me.' And from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has made him known." And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed. He did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said to him then, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you're neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know, even he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." This took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The word of God for the people of God.
Today's overall theme is, of course, joy, being this Sunday in Advent. But it's also necessary that we kind of look at John's gospel today, and I like to look at it because, you know, the other gospel writers, they have their genealogy of Jesus, you know. He goes back to here, and he goes back to there, and begot this one, and begot that one, and the son of this one, and the son of that one. And it's just strange to me that John does away with all of that. Did you notice that? He just absolutely just poo-pooed it. You know, he don't even tell that pretty story about the shepherds or Mary or any of that stuff. He goes straight into Jesus' cleansing the temple. You know, he has a run-in with Nick at night and all that stuff. But John's, you know, coming from a different place, isn't he? But he has a genealogy here, and we need to be careful that we see it. Because his genealogy, all is it a genealogy. Together we'll read these books and then we'll go have lunch. What? I see sarcasm dripping out there. You think I'm not serious? Well, then we'll just do one of them. Which one would you like? The thinnest one. Well, why don't we do this? So I'm going to borrow your tables here. One of my favorite is At Canaan's Edge by Taylor Branch. It's just a few hundred pages. It's one of three volumes, if you'd like to borrow it. It's a study about and story of the Civil Rights Movement and Dr. King. That's a good one. But here's one. This is Norton's Analogy of Literature. It's just a few pages, and it's got deluxe small print. Shucks, let's do this one. Okay. Yeah, we'll lay that one. He's kind of... This is the thinnest one. Do you agree? Sort of, maybe? Yeah. This one is written by Jameson Faustin Brown. How many of you have heard of them? That's what I thought. I've got 6 more volumes of theirs. It's theological stuff. They dissect the Bible word by word, verse by verse. It's some of the most exciting reading you'll ever see. Of course, you'll need a little Hebrew and Greek under your belt before you go here, so maybe we will. Here's one. Stoth Enos, but and it's not got the largest writing either. It's HarperCollins. Commentary on the whole Bible. Sounds like a page turner to me. How about to you? Okay, I don't think you're interested in my literature this morning. Maybe my taste in books is not yours, but maybe we could agree to spend some time in this one. Yeah, let's do this one. As much as I'd like Jameson, Faust, and Brown, you probably wouldn't. But I would encourage you to do the Taylor Branch series. That's worth your reading. But I want us to look at the genealogy found in John briefly this morning. For those of us who are familiar with Genesis, this text in one really sounds familiar, doesn't it? Genesis 1, in the beginning, God, in the beginning was the world, it was void, it's formed. It's that sound, isn't it? Look where John goes. In the beginning. He skipped Abraham. How dare he? He skipped Mary. Whoa. He skipped Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He even skipped Adam, didn't he? Ran right past him and went all the way back, and he says, in the beginning was the Word. Do we remember the Genesis story? In the beginning, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. In other words, there's nothing there. And the Spirit of God, remember that, moves upon the face of the deep, and God said, there's the Word. That's the first time God reveals himself. And God said, and God's very first act is to say, let there be light. And he separated the day from the night and said that the day was good. And you know, we're pretty good at that, aren't we? We don't say much about the night. We call it today, right? We call it Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And we ask people, you had a good night, did you? Are you having a good day? Do we have a good day? Did you have a good day? Are you having it? How many of you have had a cold or a flu lately? Sniffy, stuffy. What happens about dark? Kind of goes downhill, don't it? You know, you feel pretty good during the day, kind of getting, you think you're getting over it, but come dark, it's like when the sun goes down, you know. Mike, Sheriff Mike, what's the greatest deterrent to a criminal's activities? A large gun? No. Light, isn't it? Man, you want to scare them to death, put you some of them automatic ones on. When they come popping around the end of the house, that thing comes on, they can't stand it. Go into a beer joint and turn all the lights on and watch the people start leaving. Can't handle it. It's kind of got to go. But he says, now John is saying that Jesus was there. John is actually saying that Jesus is the very Word of God. So he goes back to he was there when God revealed himself the first time. And John will make the point that Jesus is the full revelation of who God is. Truly Emmanuel, God among us. But there's two things in this text that I want us to look at. John has all these images of light and dark and comparing, contrasting them, and the light overcomes the darkness, and we get that. We know that if you turn a flashlight on in a darkened room, the darkness flees. But have you thought about something? What happens if there's no light? We don't survive. Humanity doesn't survive. The plants don't survive. Even the animals that live underground eat the roots of the things that grow above. So with no light, life ceases to exist. Cold and darkness comes in. Well, I want us to look at these two things for just a minute, because we're talking about joy, right? So far, I don't have much joy going on, right? And we find them in verse 9. As John is describing Jesus, he says, he is the true light which enlightens everyone. Who enlightens everyone. That's who Jesus is. Now, we think of the age of enlightenment, and we think of a great deal of enlightenment, and I want to share with you, these are some, literally, I love these books. If you pick them up, you'll see where I wrote in them and scribbled in them, and it promise you, you'll need a magnifying glass from this one, even if you've got good eyes. And this one, HarperCollins. Oh, my, they've just done so much work. And you know, works of literature. How many of you, E2 Brute? Yeah, you've been here, haven't you? Couldn't get away from the beating of the telltale heart. And then, great historical events like Taylor Branch took so much time in finding out all the backstory of the Civil Rights Movement and Dr. King and his movements through time, and 3 800-page volumes to do that. We could say that education and reading and literature and art can enlighten us, right? We could say that amassing knowledge and degrees and certificates and diplomas and plaques, and then we could say there's other ways to be enlightened. Pastor, you can have enlightenment of practicality. I know a lot of people who are very academically smart, but when it rains, they go, where should I go now? You know, they're not sure with what to do with that, get in out of it or stay out in it kind of thing. You know, they don't know left from right and hot's on the left, cold, all of those things. There's other ways to be enlightened, isn't there? There's enlightenment of practicality, or are we really enlightened at all? You see, as much as I like these books, and you read many books too, I think, and the problem is, these people all say that these books are, from their perspective, truth. We find in humanity a form of enlightenment that is only a shadow of truth. His truth, according to Jameson, Faust, and Brown. It's their interpretation. They have brought to this their knowledge, their experience, their faults, and their failures. We arrive at HarperCollins' biblical commentaries. They too have arrived at this from their perspectives, right? From their knowledge, from their experiences, with their limitations, their faults and failures. And we arrive here at the American literature scene, of which we know some of this is fiction, but it's all from perspective and point of view, isn't it? And then I arrive over here at Taylor Branch's little books, and truly, when you read this, you'll find that he's a little biased. But they all claim to be enlightening, right? Today, politicians tell you they want to enlighten you too. News agencies struggle to enlighten you with the latest headlines. And even your neighbor tries to enlighten you with the latest gossip on their neighbor. Co-workers try to enlighten you on how bad the boss is. There is so much, but John is talking about a different kind of enlightenment. He's talking about enlightenment that is based in truth. God's truth. God's reality. What is God's enlightenment? And the truth of it is, Jesus says, quoted by John 14:6, I am three things, the way, the truth, and the life. In God we find truth. In God we find love that is beyond our comprehension. In God we find grace that we find no place else. In God we find love that doesn't come with strings, that comes with a freeness for us to accept it or reject it, but we can't stop it. What is joy? It isn't finally closing the last page on Taylor's books. Joy isn't getting that just right gift that fits just right, that wears just right, looks just right, feels just right. Those are happiness things. But a joy is, even if the gift doesn't fit, even if it doesn't look stylish, even if it missed the mark, even if the color isn't just right, you know that it was given in love, and you accept it in love. You see, joy doesn't come from the things around us, the people around us, or from humanity. Notice what John says. For he will have these people that are not born of man or of humanity, who can be children of God as they choose Jesus, as they accept Christ to be the children of God. You see, joy don't come from superficiality. Joy comes from a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, of knowing I'm a sinner, knowing I need a Savior, and that I've got one. And that's Jesus. Knowing that I'm going to make a mistake tomorrow just as sure as I get up. I'll make some this afternoon without a doubt. But knowing that I can bring it before God and find grace and love and mercy. I wear a size 13 triple E shoe, sometimes between my teeth. Sometimes I put it in and try to talk, and nothing comes out right. Sometimes I kneel down at my bed and I pray for forgiveness, and I can think of 100 things that I should have done, could have done, wish I hads, should I haves. But you know what God does? He listens. He says, yeah, you're right. How many of you have been there? Stay just a little longer and let God say to you, I love you. You made some mistakes today, and thank you for sharing them with me. But you know what? You got some things right. So often the world points out our failures and forgets to show us what we did right. Take your sins to God, your faults, your failures, but stay a little longer and let Him love on you and forgive you. Feel His love and feel His grace surround you. Give up that other stuff you're feeling. Give up all of that stuff and embrace God's joy. The joy of knowing that God is with you and nothing can take that away. Of knowing despite your imperfections, God still loves you. And nothing can take that away. Folks, I don't know about you, but there are times when I need that myself. And stay a little longer in that time of prayer and let God's light come in to remove that darkness of doubt and dread and fear and failure, and listen to God's loving words that lift you up. So stay long enough to let the light in. And the light is the light of humanity in Christ Jesus. the light. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Our gracious and loving God, may we know joy in our hearts, no matter what is going on around us. Do not let us feel defeated by our adversary and the negativity that can surround us and the darkness that can hinder us. The darkness of doubt, the darkness of dread, the darkness of failure, the darkness of rejections, the darkness of judgmentalness, the judgment, the sexisms, all of those things that are so negative in the world around us. Father, let us hold on to the true light that enlightens everyone, that we can see and know and hear the truth, that God is love in us, that we are forgiven, that we are redeemed, even though we aren't perfect. And let us know that of others in our lives too. Let us reflect your light that is in us. And let us know joy that isn't the bubbly, hoppy, happy thing, but the thing that sustains us in our hearts, to know you are with us and nothing can separate us from you. For you are the true light, and darkness cannot overcome it. So, Father, may you be light in our life, and may we share your light in the world around us, a light that cannot be put out and that darkness cannot overcome. We lift our hearts before you today, praying into the light. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Just there.
Now may we go to pray for each other, to remember each other, and to be reminded that God's joy is in us and nothing can take it away. And may the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you now and bless you and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.